says. Amen. This morning, I'd like for you to do something, if you'd be kind enough. We're going to be, of course, in Titus next Sunday. But this morning, we're going to be here with our annual Thanksgiving sermon. So turn in your Bibles to two places this morning. Turn to Psalm 100 in the Old Testament and 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles is located right after 1 Chronicles. I just wanted to see if you're listening, you know. I mean, I never know about you guys. And so this morning as we, can you just imagine here as we're turning, Thanksgiving 2022. Doesn't that sound, the number 2022 sound like a, like way out there, doesn't it? I mean, I remember when 1960 was old, you know, and everything. And so here we are, where I think we're, 35 days away from Christmas, and like every year I say, and 41 days until 2023. You know, for some reason, I don't know what it is in my nature, but for some reason, I become reflective when the holiday season rolls around. The end of the year is here, Christmas is coming, Thanksgiving is here. I don't know why I start looking back and thinking about things and so forth. And I was thinking about, you know, today, for example, or actually last week. You know, when I came into this life, when I was born, there was only 2.5 billion people on the entire planet. And, of course, I was born, whether you know it or not, 85 years after the Civil War ended, okay? So, what was the Civil War? I know, never mind, you don't know. But, you know, and then on Tuesday, November 15th of this year, it says here that the Earth's population is now over 8 billion people and is expected to peak at 10.4 billion in 2086. It says it took 12 years for the world population to grow from 7 billion to 8 billion, and the largest population increase in history has occurred over the last 70 years and is likely never to be replicated or duplicated, according to the United Nations Population Division. So, you know, when I look today, and like I said, I become reflective, and I look at the world we're living in now. This is a Thanksgiving sermon. Are y'all with me? Okay. When I look at the world that we live in now, it's hard for me to identify with it because of I have never, as you've heard me say so often from this pulpit, I have never in my lifetime seen so many changes in our government, in our culture, as we have since 2008. We could just go just to 2008, or we could start when they took prayer out of the school. You follow me? So the changes that occurred, and I realized that the days of my youth and how I enjoyed my days, that never going to happen again, and it'll never happen for anybody else, because that culture is gone. Does that make sense? And so that the generations here, for example, it's true though of every generation, isn't it? That, you know, you say, well, I remember this the old day, or I remember about this and that. You know, do you realize that before this church, which was built in 1963, by the way, before this building right here was ever built, this was all land. Did you know that 377 didn't have one red light all the way to Denton? Yeah. And you know, when I was a little boy, I would drive past this vacant lot on my bicycle, you know, 6, 7 years old, when I would drive all the way from Fort Worth to Keller to see my grandmother, because I loved being on the farm. You know what I loved about my grandmother? She smelled like Ben Gay. That's the truth. You'd hug her, and I could, what is that? That's Ben Gay. You know, it's all over her body, man. You know, and she never wore a pair of glasses in her life. She couldn't see a thing. She had to use those big magnifying glasses to see everything. You know, like 50 power or whatever it's called, you know? She would scare me because when she looked at her whole face, you say, Bill, why are you going? Where are you going with all this? Well, I am going someplace because, you see, I don't identify with the world, but the younger generation, they do, because this is the only world they've ever known and the only culture they've ever known, and they haven't lived long enough to know anything else. So the younger generation, they live in a digital world today. They live in the land of internets and apps and iPhones and instant information, Facebook, Instagram, and emojis, okay? And they can't help it. It's not their fault. 8 billion people on this planet, and listen to me now, 51% of the 8 billion people are younger than 32. That's amazing, isn't it? And here we are celebrating Thanksgiving, and this week, rather. And a new study from Harmony Healthcare said 42% of Generation Z, and that's people born between 1997 and 2012, it says have been diagnosed with mental health conditions. Now, we're not making fun of that. Does that make sense? Don't ever do that. Okay. Most frequently, it says, the cited conditions were anxiety, depression, which were reported by 90% of the respondents. Many have made a connection to their poor mental health with social media. More than half, 57%, said they had to take a break from social media for mental health reasons, while another 36% reported that they deleted their social media accounts to protect their mental health. And now the world system that we live in, you know, the things that are being created, the internet is wonderful, but it's also the most wicked thing in the world, isn't it? But instant information is unbelievable. And now this world, all the young people, and the world that we live in, matter of fact, all people in the world, we are now entering into a whole new world of technology. I've been studying it, okay? Let me just give you a few examples. It says here XR. Now, that's extended reality. It says which integrates the five senses, sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch. Then there's AR. That's augmented reality. Now, some of you know all of this. I don't, okay? I'm just reading from what I studied. It says an interactive experience that combines the real world and computer-generated content. Praise the Lord, all right? And here comes the next one. MR, that's mixed reality, the merging of the real-world environment on a computer-generated one. Physical virtual objects may exist in a mixed reality environment that interact in real time. Whew, okay, and there's another one. Virtual reality, VR, that is a simulated experience that gives the user an immersive feel of a virtual world. It says a person using virtual reality equipment is able to look around the artificial world, move around in it, interact with virtual features or items. Now, you probably understood all of those things, didn't you? I've never put that thing on my head and that thing's on your hands to go into any other world. This is where I'm at right now. Okay? However, I'm going to ask you a question, and I am going someplace, believe it or not. Will an artificial world, now that's not the real world, is it? Okay. Is it, will it be a positive or will it be a negative impact on a person's mental state? And how will people actually act in a virtual world? What will they do to one another as they interact? Now, with all that being said, I don't want to sound like a pessimist this morning. Not on Thanksgiving, you know, this is a time to be celebrating, okay? Giving thanks. However, I want to tell you this morning that this world is not going to get any better. Matter of fact, this world that we live in is going to get much worse, okay? Can I give you a scripture for that? It says Jesus, now he's not a pessimist, is he? Okay, here's what Jesus said, Matthew 24:7. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. And Jesus says, well, and these are just the beginning of sorrows. And then he says in Matthew 24:21, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no shall ever be again. And unless the days were shortened, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, is that a little alarming? Yes. And you're saying, some of you are going, okay, Bill, listen, I'd like to talk turkey with you for a minute. In other words, I must have misunderstood what you said, because you said this is the annual Thanksgiving sermon, and Bill, I love Thanksgiving. I love that holiday. I love meeting with all the family, the turkey and the dressing and the giblet or giblet, whichever you prefer, gravy, okay, and the cranberries and the pies and then the long, long nap. Okay, I'm sorry. My apologies. I'm not talking about Thanksgiving, the holiday. You see, you love Thanksgiving, but do you love Thanksgiving? Let me say that again. You love Thanksgiving, but do you love Thanksgiving? And what do we really want? Do we want Thanksgiving or do we want Thanksgiving? You see the difference. Now, the reason that I said all that is because we're moving into a new year. We're in Revolution 2022, 2024. Now, I know in my spirit and in my heart, and I'm going to tell you, the things that I'm going to tell you are right in the Word of God, not from Bill, from God's Word. Amen? Okay, we have to move into a revolutionary mindset for 2023 if the Lord tarries. I mean, a revolutionary mindset. Why? Because we are going to be facing circumstances and battles in our life that are going to come against us in such a way that our thanksgiving to God might wax cold. Does that make sense? That we stop, we're not giving God thanks because of what the things that we're going through. And we have to move into 2023, loved one, believing that giving thanks unto the Lord, thanksgiving unto God, is now the work. Just like we have learned that prayer is the work, and they go together. Did you know that? Prayer and thanksgiving to God, do they go together? Yes, yes they do. Are you at Psalm 100? This psalm is directed only to God our Father. Look at it with me. Verse 1 is a command, by the way. These are commands. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. In other words, give thanks unto God. All you lands, not Israel, everyone, serve the Lord with gladness. Do you serve the Lord with gladness? Come before his presence with singing. We did that this morning. I know the Lord, that he is God. And he has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I pray you're eating in the pasture he's led you to. Enter his gates with what? Isn't that amazing? Walk through those doors with thanksgiving, ready to worship the Lord. Enter into his courts with what? Praise. And look at the next one. And be, say it with me, be thankful to him and bless his name. Why? Well, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, meaning his love is eternal. And his truth endures to how many generations? All generations. We say, Lord, we give you thanks. Did you thank God this morning in your prayer time? Did you have a prayer time? Yes. Sunday's the hardest, isn't it, for some of us? You know, because that's my day to sleep. Now, not my day. Now listen, we give thanks to God because God is good. He doeth good. He continually does good. Amen? We thank God for his everlasting, eternal mercy and his incredible grace. He loves us. He is our Father. He is for us. Amen? So that's a given. He alone is worthy of praise. But I want you to listen to me now. Why? Or maybe I should say it this way. It's very interesting in Scripture that giving thanks, like here and other places, it is a command. Why would God command his sheep to give him thanks? Why would the Holy Spirit, when this is being written, penned, why would he make this a command? You know, there's a lot of commands about giving thanks unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 is a command. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Now, we know that our rejoicing, Philippians 4:14, you know, we rejoice in the Lord. Amen? That's the object of our rejoicing. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says this, in everything. Let's say that word, everything. Boy, is that a big word? Does it mean everything? I mean everything. In everything, this command, by the way, it's a command. In everything, not for everything, but in everything, give thanks. Now, why? For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Can you believe that? It's a command right there. God says, you know what? If you want to be in my perfect will, when he says, when in everything give thanks, not for everything, but in it, in all that you're going through, why would God, now listen, very careful, this is important today, we're entering a new year. Thessalonica, why would God command a church that is undergoing severe persecution and tribulation for the name of Jesus, why would he give a command for this church that's being torn apart by persecution? You ever think about that? And I say, Lord, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense in the natural realm, does it? It doesn't make sense at all to give, I mean, if you're going through persecution, do you go, oh, Lord, thank you, and first service, come on, you're holy. No, do you? Do you say, when you're being persecuted, you go, well, praise the Lord, thank you. But you know what? He gave this command, the Spirit of God gave this command to a church that was, I mean, they were enduring horrible, horrible, severe persecution, loved one. And here's the deal. This right here is the starting point. That verse is the starting point for true revolution in thanksgiving unto God in 2023. And the reason, it is his will. It's not my will. Amen? It is his will to do those things. Matter of fact, it says in Ephesians 5:20, it says giving thanks always, all the time. And then it adds, for all things, to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, does that make sense? Well, and you say, well, not in the natural realm. Now, listen again. When did Paul write Ephesians 5:20 or where? And yes, he was in Rome. It was his first imprisonment. He wrote that there. Listen, if I was in prison, I don't know that I'd be writing home, hey, let's just give thanks for all. You know what I'm saying? No. I'm going, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach us this Thanksgiving as we move into a brand new year? You know, how about a 2,000-year-old command? Are you ready for this one? Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Don't let your life be torn apart. Don't let your mind be divided or worry, that is. It says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything that you do, by prayer, with supplication, why thanksgiving, Lord? Let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your minds and your hearts through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, that is a command. How about this one? And I will get to 2 Chronicles, or you just hold on. How about this one here? When Jesus, remember when he fed the 5,000? And the disciples, they came unto him and said, Jesus, Lord, he said, listen, you're going to have to send these guys away. Send the multitude away. We don't have any food for them. We don't have any a lodging for them. And they've been with us 3 days. They're going to faint, man. You need to send them into the city. And Jesus said, what did he say to them? You feed them. Hello? You feed them? You want me to feed them? I mean, what? All we have here is a little boy's lunch. You know, we have five fish and two pieces, five loaves and two small fish, Jesus. You know what happened and all of that. Listen, it doesn't make sense in the natural realm, does it? No, you see, the disciples, they looked at the crowd, the 5,000, not as people. They looked at them as a problem. And Jesus says in John 6:11, here's what he did. Listen carefully now. Jesus, he took the loaves. He took two little small fish. And you know what he did? When he had given what? Thanks. Jesus knew exactly what to do in a circumstance when it had to have a miracle to do that. Does that make sense? He says, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples, those who were sitting down, and likewise of the fish and all the rest, and they ate as much as they wanted. Man, but he gave thanks. How about this one? Remember Paul, he and Silas, There they were in Acts chapter 16. And that little slave girl who brought her masters much money by her fortune telling, remember, she had a spirit of divination. And what did Paul the apostle do? He cast that devil out. And then all of a sudden they couldn't make any money off her anymore. And they got mad at Paul. You know, the whole city went into an uproar. And it says in Acts 16:22, and then the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates, they tore off their clothes. They stripped Paul and Silas, okay? Commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, not just the prison, the inner prison, and fastened their feet in the stocks. The inner prison was a dungeon. There was no light. There was no fresh air. Man, it was just a sewer, if you will. And there was no way, it was absolutely impossible in Paul's day, that particular prison, to escape the inner dungeon. And yet, they still put Paul and Silas in the stocks. Now, that's a form of Roman punishment. Remember what they did? They would make you sit down, and then the stocks were in front for your feet, and the holes were far, far apart. And they put one leg in and the other leg in and stretched that out. And then they would bend you over and put your head in the stocks and then stretch your arms into the other holes and pull you forward. Now, listen to me. When you think about that kind of punishment, these two men serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas, number one, they were praying. Number two, they were singing hymns to God. And it says that the prisoners were listening. I love that. In other words, listening with pleasure in the Greek. Now, they're charged, but they're not guilty. They are beaten. They are bloody. There's no light. There's no fresh air. Their body is stretched out in pain. They've been beaten, I mean, to the very limit in those stocks. Question, was their pain real? Okay, let's go there. We're in the stocks. What would you do? Let's be honest. What would you do? What did they do? And we have to learn from this. They were what? They were praying. They were singing in the darkness, loved one. They could not see anything. They were in the inner dungeon. And what were they doing? They were giving thanks to God in the darkest moment, in their darkest hour. You know, what is your theology in the midnight hour when it comes upon you? They were giving thanks unto God, and something supernatural happened. Let me tell you why. Let me give you the scripture, Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, and here it comes, spiritual songs, songs that are given by the Holy Spirit of God. Spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always to God for all things. One of my favorite scriptures, Job 35:10, God who giveth songs in the night, a song from God for your heart, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through. Do you know God still gives songs in the night? Amen? Yes, he does. We serve a supernatural God, and Christians are a supernatural people, loved one. And I say, oh, Lord, that supernatural song given by the Spirit of God and given for a divine purpose, giving thanks always for all things. And as they were doing that, listen to what happened while they were giving thanks. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were removed. I want to ask you a question now. You know the rest of the story. The jailer got saved in his household and all of that and came and took care of the stripes on their backs. But listen, when you really think about that in the natural, does it make sense to be praising or thanking God, giving thanks unto God when you're bent over and beaten and bloody in stocks? But it does make sense in the spiritual realm. In other words, you know, let me ask you a question. And whenever you're hurting, and I hurt just like you, whenever you see maybe your family, your children, or whatever, falling apart, what do you do? Do you do what the natural realm says, or do you do what the spiritual realm says? Or does it not even make sense? Let me back up, though. I want to make sure you understand something. Giving thanks unto God is not some magic formula. It's not a bargaining chip with God. Does that make sense? No. But it is the will of God. Okay, now we know that. The Bible tells us this in Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whatever it is, in word, whatever comes out of your mouth, indeed, your actions in this life, it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, here it comes, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Loved one, words and deeds cover about everything in life. Amen? So what if in 2023, what if you prepared your heart and your mind right now? Because you and me, we're going to face battles. I mean, some of us, we don't know what's coming, but God does. Amen? And we're going to face battles. What if we started giving thanks right now to enter into 2023, thanking God in every circumstance, in every battle, not for the battle, but in it. Does that make sense? If we started to say, oh, Lord, instead of saying, oh, God, where are you? Oh, Lord, why, God, is this happening to me? Oh, God, if you really love me, why? This wouldn't be happening to me. I'm your child. You know, No. Listen, what if we faced every circumstance that's coming, giving thanks to God? And let me tell you why. I pray the verse I'm about to give you becomes embedded in your heart. Matter of fact, hold your places. You're there. You're going to be in 2 Chronicles. Just turn. You're in the Psalms. Turn to the greatest psalm about the Messianic psalm, Psalm 22. And I want to take, even though that's a song of the cross about our Savior, the Psalm 22 happened to David, okay? So look at Psalm 22, but go to verse 3 with me. Psalm 22, verse 3, and this is why we're going to give thanks in every situation, every battle that we face, no, all the pain, all the hurt, whatever it might be. It says, but you are holy. Oh, praise God. We have a holy God. Amen? And what does it say? Enthroned in the praises of Israel. We could say enthroned in the praises of His people that belong to Him. Amen? Now listen carefully. Something happens in the spiritual realm, in the supernatural world. Something happens when we start truly from our hearts, oh Lord, I give you thanks, I give you praise. You know what I'm facing. And it says right here, when we do that, it says that He is enthroned, that's Yahshev in Hebrew, enthroned, that word means to dwell. It means to abide. It means to inhabit. It means to continue. It means to remain. It says enthroned, remained in, abiding in what? The praises, the adoration, and the thanksgiving to God. Giving thanks. What does that mean? Enthroned is a verb, loved one. Now listen carefully. As we start worshiping God, truly, if in this house, in your whatever you're facing, okay? When we start doing that, if it were really true in our worship, not just mouthing out words, I mean, our heart is intent. We don't care what anybody thinks. We're lifting our hands. We're loving the Lord. And when we do those things and exalt Him, what happens? It says He's enthroned in our praises. What does that mean? It literally means that His kingdom rule invades our situation. He invades our situation. Listen, He enthrones Himself in your circumstance. Why? You're in the will of God. Amen? 2 Thessalonians 5:8, or first, in everything give thanks. Amen? For this is the will of God. Oh, listen, you're all of a sudden here, you're hurting, you're going through whatever you're facing, and it changes everything. Oh, listen, I'm telling you something. You know, God is so faithful. When we do what He says to do, because it doesn't make sense to say, oh, I'm just having a great time, Lord. Thank you, when you're not. But you don't walk, you don't walk by what you see. You walk by faith, amen? Now, God is good. Listen to what the psalmist says. Psalm 92:1, oh, it's good to give thanks to the Lord. It's good to sing praises to His name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness. He loves us. to declare it in the morning, and at nighttime declare his faithfulness. Are you at 2 Chronicles chapter 20? Verse 1, now listen, here's what we need to do quickly. We're going to make now an application to prove about how God enthrones himself in the praises of his people. And he then is in the battle with us, amen? Now, King Jehoshaphat, you know, he's of the southern kingdom. He was a king of Judah. He was one of the greatest kings. He brought all kinds of reforms to Judah. He removed all the idols and got them back into the word of God again and so forth. And it says, it happened after this, meaning after all the reforms of the king, that the people of Moab, people of Ammon, and others with them, besides the Ammonites, they came to what? They came to battle against him. Now, those are Israel's ancient enemies, if you will. Then some came, meaning the scouts came, they told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazeron Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. So they're right on the doorstep of Jerusalem, okay? Now, so they're surrounded by their enemies, and their enemies are closing in. Listen, when you are in it, when you're facing a battle, especially if your children are hurting, amen? Or whatever that might be, you know, your marriage, it could be your finances, whatever it might be, your finances and all those things. Love what? Do you feel surrounded like that? You feel like the enemy's closing in? I understand that, and I know you do as well. What is your battle plan? Let's look at his battle plan. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat, he feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. That's a pretty good battle plan, amen? In other words, I would go out and say, how many men can fight? Where's the army? Do you have your gun? Do you have your sword? Does that make sense? But he didn't do that. He did something that we're learning, because we're moving into this revolution. And that is, he would seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and his righteousness. And that is what we're to do. And also, he got the whole nation behind him, and they were fasting and praying. In verse 4, that's total commitment we're going to look at here. Judah was in total commitment, okay? A house divided, loved one, cannot stand. They were united. And it says, so Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat, it's really Jehoshaphat, I don't know which one it is. Does it really matter? King J, how's that? He stood in the assembly of Judah, Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, oh Lord, listen to this great prayer. Oh Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? In other words, he said, you do not, God, you dominate the affairs of the entire world. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? Oh, and they dwell in it and have built your sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword and judgment, pestilence, famine, we shall stand before this temple. And in your presence, listen to what he says, and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and watch this, and you will hear, and you will save. Loved one, that is great faith, isn't it? I mean, great faith. In other words, God, we're not able, but you're able. You've heard, and since you've heard, we know you're going to do something about it because we belong to you. And now, he says, and now here they are, the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you've given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. What a great word. How many times have you said that to the Lord? I don't know what to do, Lord, but God knows what to do. Lord, I'm not able. I don't have the power, you know, Lord, but you have the power. Oh, and God knows. He says, but here's the deal. All of our eyes in 2023 are on you, Lord. They're on you. Listen, when you are going through a circumstance and a battle, circumstance means in Latin, the things that surround you, okay? Loved one, what do you put your eyes on? Are you looking at the battle? No, you need to go from the problem to the solution. Amen? You need to go from the visible to the invisible. And that's why he said, but our eyes are upon you. And now all of Judah with their little ones and their wives and their children stood before the Lord. And we'll quickly read now. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, and all the rest of them, okay? And it says, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. Isn't that cool? In other words, we have the helper too, the Holy Spirit, amen? When we need help, he's right there to strengthen us. He's our standby. So in the midst of worship, in the midst of giving thanks unto God, a prophetic utterance comes forth. Listen to me now. Never, I'm not talking about then, I'm talking about today. Never discount the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Oh, listen, we need that today more than ever, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he said, listen, all of you in Judah, the inhabitant, this prophet, he's speaking. Listen now, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord God to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. What a word. You mean I'm not going to have to strike one blow? That's right. The battle is God's. I'm going to ask you a question. How many battles has God ever lost? None. He's never lost a battle. Amen? And he says, now tomorrow, go down against them. They'll surely come up to the ascent of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the brook and before the wilderness of Jeruel, and you will not need to fight in this battle. Isn't that amazing? You don't need to do that. He says, just position yourself, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord who's with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear, don't be dismayed. Tomorrow, just go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And the king bowed his head and put his face to the ground. And all of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they bowed there before the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord. Now watch. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Kohathites stood up to do what? To give thanks. That's what they were doing. That word there, they were giving thanks unto the Lord, thanksgiving to the Lord God of Israel with loud voices and high voices. And so they rose early in the morning, they went out to the wilderness to Koah, and they went out, and Jehoshaphat stood there. Hear me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe, that's a great word, you have to believe God. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And here it comes. Are you ready for this? And when he had consulted with the people, now there's an army that has surrounded them. They, all the ancient enemies of Israel. And so the king, he went out and consulted with the people, and look what he did. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and he appointed those who should praise the beauty of his holiness. In other words, give adoration and give thanksgiving unto God. And as they went out before the army, and look what they said. They started out how? Praising. In other words, they were giving thanks to the Lord. His mercy endures forever. Now, how would you like to be in that praise band? Huh? Now, I want you to do something right now. As we move into the 2023, listen carefully. You need to ponder this incredible passage that I'm about to read. And I want you to think, because you're going to see an army. You're going to see the strongest army in the entire universe, okay, right here in just a moment. And there's not any, they have no weapons. They don't have any mighty leaders or generals, if you will, okay? They just have one thing, just worshipers that are giving thanks unto God in the midst of a horrible circumstance. And what is more horrible than an army being surrounded by people who want to kill you? Amen? Now listen, they had only one weapon. Only one weapon only against this enemy. And it was one thing. The giving of thanks unto God. Watch this. In 2 Chronicles, verse 22 now, only as they worshiped now did God act. Watch this. And now when they began to sing and to praise or give thanks to the Lord, what did he do? He set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, who come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy one another. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. And watch, no one escaped. Did any of the Jews fight? No, but they did fight. They fought the right way. Now, listen, we don't have time. Go to verse 29. It says, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms and those countries. And when they heard the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel, verse 30, then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet and God gave him rest all around. Now, listen to me. Israel's enemies were all destroyed by themselves. That confusion that was set in there. They killed one another. As they were giving thanks unto God, singing and praising him. And it happened during that battle. Now listen, thanksgiving to God during your battle, I know it doesn't make sense in the natural realm. But I tell you what it does. When you start giving thanks and you're hurting, you don't know what to do. You don't know, Lord, where are you? You know, all those things, and you, with your family, your finances, your health, whatever it might be, whatever you're facing, they just fired me. I don't have a dime in the bank. Boy, I've been there. And you just start saying, Lord, I'm not thanking you for these things, but I'm thanking you in these things. Oh, Lord, I'm inviting you. I want you to be in. Come on, Lord. Here you are. Oh, listen, something happens when we do that, loved one. And that's exactly what we do here. It confuses the powers of darkness. And we have an enemy, by the way, who's come to kill, steal, and destroy. Listen, this right here is a picture of what takes place in the spiritual realm when we give thanks to God in our circumstance, in our battle, not for them, but in them. Does that make sense? Oh, Psalm 22:3 again. You're holy, enthroned, or dwelling, or abiding, or remaining, or continuing, or inhabiting the praises, giving thanks. You inhabit the praises, our giving thanks. You come down and you enthrone yourself in these things. Listen to me. When we do that, you invite, because you're doing his will, giving thanks. You're doing his will. You're in the will of God. You're inviting his kingdom rule to come right in. And he enthrones himself into the circumstance that you're facing. He knows all about it. But this is something different that happens. Therefore, I would say it does make sense, doesn't it, in the battle, in the circumstance, to give thanks unto God. Now, let me tell you how it's done. It's done only one way. It's a sacrifice on our part. Because it's not natural to the flesh. Does that make sense? But it's natural or supernatural to the Holy Spirit. Let me give you the scripture, Hebrews 13:5. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifice that, Lord, I am thankful to God. That is the fruit of our lips. Here it comes, giving thanks to his name. He says, for with these such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In the midst of your battle, and you are going to face battles. There's no way around it, loved one. There's no way around it. I wish I could say, oh man, we're always going to be healthy. You know, we're not going to get any wrinkles. You know, our car's never going to break down. We're all going to drive vets. You know what I'm saying? No, loved one, listen. We give thanks to God. Why? Listen to me now. You have to believe these scriptures. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? You have to believe 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be unto God who, not sometimes, always, always leads us in victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? But you know what? When you're being led in victory, are you going to have circumstances in front of you? Yes. Are you going to have hardship in front of you? Yes. So in that hardship, what do you do? Oh, Lord, I give you praise. Thank you, Lord, because you're with me. Thank you right now because you'll never leave me. You'll never, ever forsake me. How about God is so good? Ephesians 1:3, thanks be unto God. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, in the heavenlies which are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Loved one, we have to obey the Lord. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking up the shield of faith by which you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the wicked one touches you not. 1 John 2:14, you know what it says? The word of God abides in you, and you are strong, and you have overcome the wicked one. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. Amen? You have to take those scriptures, and you own them. When you are in that battle, Jesus promised us in John 16:33, you're going to have tribulation in this world. Don't worry. But he said, listen, I've overcome the world. 1 John 5:4-5. And who is he? No. Whosoever has been born of God. Only qualification. Whoever has been born again. Whoever is a new creation. Born of God. The Bible tells us something. You have overcome the world. You have overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Not our fighting, not our begging, not our arguing with God. No, it says our faith. Our faith. Amen. Oh, loved one, listen. You listen. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You're going to have battles, and now you know how to fight that battle. The Bible says this, and I'm closing Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. That's what we have to do. That's a cry. Oh, why aren't you giving thanks unto God? He says, for his wonderful works among the children of men, verse 22 of the same 107 Psalm. He says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. There's our answer. We're moving into revolution 2023 if the Lord tarries, and we are going to have problems, but we are going to see our circumstances we're going to walk on them. We're going to walk on them because we're going to do what God says. Amen? There's no one like our God. Let God be enthroned in your giving of thanks. Amen? From my home to yours, I bid you a wonderful Thanksgiving. A Thanksgiving that is filled with true thanksgiving unto God. Father, thank you for this day. And thank you for this word. And thank you for supernatural strength in every person listening live or that's here to walk in it. Oh, Lord, to walk on water. And Lord, that these things that are coming against us, and they are coming, we know now what to do. We are giving thanks, not for them, but in them, because you join in the fight. You fight our battles. Oh God, thank you. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? Isn't God good? Amen. I mean, you could have stayed home, you know, but you wouldn't be as thankful as you are right now. I love you dearly. The Lord bless you. Listen, I didn't have an altar call today because I wasn't led to do that for this particular service, but here's the deal. If you don't know Jesus, we love you. We want you. We want you to be saved. We want you to be a part of the kingdom. We want you to be in heaven with us forever and ever and ever. Amen. We want you to be a part of us who are eagerly waiting for the return of our Lord. And the way to do that is to come down to this altar, and there'll be people here in the front whenever the song is over and just say, you know what, I don't know the Lord. And they'll introduce you to Jesus Christ. You might have walked in here lost, but you'll walk out a new creation in Christ. Amen? Amen. All you have to do is come. And if you need prayer for something, you know they'll be here as well. And if you're a first-time visitor, I'd love to meet you. I'm going to the Welcome Center. It's a visitor. They have a free gift they want to give to you. And if I don't see you, which I probably will, I won't be seeing you, will I? I pray that you have a blessed Thanksgiving. I mean a great Thanksgiving. A wonderful time. In Jesus' name, amen.